So here we are at Christmas Eve. We've sung some wonderful carols, expressing the message really best as we've sung it, really, as far as Away in the Manger, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Angels We Have Heard on High. There was quite a bit of commotion going on way back then. A lot of messages being brought forth by angels to those around for Zacharias and to have that child of John, and then the angel coming to Joseph, and then the angel coming to Mary, and all these things taking place. The messenger, the angels coming to share what God has had in store. Over the last several weeks, we've shared on messages that speak specifically to this time of year, but Christmas. Hopefully we could get past this, and many of us have, I'm sure, to where we can celebrate Christmas year-round, the birth of Jesus. One of the topics we shared was kind of tied in with the candle, talking about hope. Hope is that to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen. You want something to be true. Hope, to expect with confidence. We find that Christian hope is really an extension of faith. Our hope, our faith is there in that manger. We have this hope because God had a plan. His plan was to redeem his people back to himself. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't by accident. It was planned from the very beginning. We touched upon that in Genesis 3:15, way back then, the preparation for Jesus' birth. We also spoke about preparation, the action of the process of making something for use or service or getting ready for some occasion, for a test or for a duty. You know, we all, you know, remember back in the days of schooling. Some of us might have prepared for a test. Some of us might not have, you know. But that preparation, preparing for that thing that's coming, we find that we are even in that today. I think I shared some weeks back about where we're at in this time is we should be preparing for the second return, the second coming of Jesus. Amen? For he says he will return. And he's going to come a whole lot different than he did the first time, isn't he? He's not going to come as a babe. He's not going to need a manger, because he's riding that horse. He's coming with the sounds of the trumpet. But preparation, that's for us even today, to prepare for that and to tell others about this. We had shared some on joy. Joy was spoken of one of these past Sundays. And joy is a positive attitude or a pleasant emotion. We all like joy, don't we? You know, I'd much rather be around joyful people than grumbly people. How about you? But it is a pleasant emotion, a delight. The nature of true joy centers around God. The true joy that we have is different. I'd share it. It's different than that of the world, isn't it? It's centered around God. This type of joy will transcend the ups and the downs of life that we all have. This type of joy comes due to us having a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord. If you can maintain that relationship, and it takes work, doesn't it? It's not easy, and it takes work, and it takes time, and it takes time to develop, and it's not always easy. But I would encourage you to maintain a relationship with Christ on a day-in and day-out basis to help keep this type of joy and that peace and that strength that comes through him. And then last week, I loved last week, because last week we had the opportunity to speak on Love Came Down. How fitting to talk about Jesus, to talk about what God had planned for us and what he wanted to bring to us. Love. This love is the high esteem that God has for us and that we should have for him. And not that we should just have it for him, but we should have it for others. Others around us. Others, this might hurt some of us. In our family, we need to show love. It's not always easy. It's sometimes quite difficult. Some people will say, I can truly love the stranger out there or that friend out there, but I tell you what, when you start saying, I got to love my family members or a sister or a brother or somebody like that, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? It's not always simple or easy. These things that we talk about, these things that we encourage you to do, please, it doesn't come easy, does it? But anything worth having, it's worth putting the effort towards. And the payout or the payoff or the return on investment, whatever you want to call it, is so much better and grander than anything that this world could offer. Amen? So love that God is talking about, this love, the high esteem that God has for us and that we should have for Him and others. We find that the greatest love story has ever been shared is that found in the Bible. John 3:16 is referenced many, many times, that for God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son. To those that believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, it's one thing for Jesus to come. It's one thing for God to send Jesus to come, to die in our place, to die in our stead, to have His blood cleanse or wash our sins away. But it does no good if you don't receive it, does it? You know, He can come, and He has come, and He can do, and He did do all of these things for us. But if we don't freely choose to take that on what He has offered to us, it's a gift that you haven't opened yet. Does anybody have a gift that you haven't opened from 10 Christmases ago, 20 Christmases ago, 30 Christmases ago? Had somebody given you a gift on one of these past Christmases, and you say, well, that's really nice, and I bet there's a lot of good stuff in there, but I'm just going to put it away for another day? Or do you, like all of us, when we're around the tree in the family, and we're all looking and watching each other opening presents, you know, it's like, okay, it's your turn, open yours. Or, you know, some people, you know, there are some families that are pretty polite at gift opening. Anybody come from a polite family of gift openers to where they each take a turn and go, okay, it's your turn now? They open it. Okay, now it's your turn. That doesn't work with us. I don't know. It's like a lot of it's like, okay, you know, bless our, we, you know, as our kids were there, our kids would hand out the gifts, you know, as we just had kids. And then when we got the grandkids and spouses and, you know, son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws, and now we live it up to the kids, you know, we always got a grandchild that's saying, I'll hand out the gifts. And it's like, a lot of us at our age say, that's good, because how many of us can bend down and pick them up anyway? You know, if it was up for me to go down and get the gifts and get out from under the tree, we would be there for like 4 hours, because I'd have to have a, okay, help me back up now. Here it is. Oh, my back. Oh, help me, Lord. No, we leave it to the younger kids. It's something that they pick up, and it's like, it's nothing else. That's why you have kids to have kids to have grandkids. It's like, okay, carry on. But they take the gifts, and it's so fun to watch the kids under the tree, and they're looking at it, and some kids will go to the biggest boxes, you know, thinking that's theirs, or it's like, here's yours, here's yours, here's so-and-so, you know. But I've always seen those gifts always opened. By the time the tree was bare underneath, and, you know, we've learned ahead of time, you get trash bags prepared to put all the wrappings in and all that, so it doesn't look like a war zone, so to speak. But I've always noticed that the tree is empty and no time flat, and the piles of gifts are stacked here and there around each person, and they've opened that gift. But I'm sad to say there's many here today, possibly, or some that I know for sure out there, that they've been told this Christmas message about this gift that God sent to them, and they've not opened it. For whatever reason, it's up between them and God. Not for me to judge or say, well, how dare you? But I would encourage you to say, you need to unwrap that gift, because God loves you enough to send Jesus. And that gift will go on giving and giving and giving for your eternity. Because see, we're on this side of heaven is just temporal. I don't know our time frame here. We all have a different time frame that we're on and what God has given us and allowed us to have. But I do know that there's eternity out there, that there's someplace much, much better than here. And there's some place that's much, much worser than here, if that's a word, worser, worse than here. But it's for eternity. And so God was looking at this as the birth of Jesus, that babe in the manger, no room at the end. Even then, they had no room for Him at the end. And how many people of today have no room for Him in their hearts? The heart is clouded or crowded with so many other things of today that it's the same thing. Jesus says, I come and, you know, if somebody would knock and let me in, and I'll answer and come, and I'll sit with them. And oh, but our hearts are so full of things of this life. We can truly almost at times say, there's no room here in my heart today. Try another day. Try another year. Try it when I'm not as busy with my life and my job and my family. Come back, Lord, when I know that probably as I'm up in years that maybe I better get a relationship with you, because I got a feeling my time's drawing closer to you than when it was when I was first born, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or 80 or 90 years ago. But that same love is there. We had lit the Christ candle that reminds us of his birth and the purpose and why he is here. There's nothing you or anyone can do to accomplish what the birth, the life, and truly the death of Jesus and the impact that it has made today and for all that come to the knowledge of him. I encourage you today to think on what this time of year truly speaks to. It's a time that we can focus on the events around the birth of Christ, all that had to take place for it to happen, so much prophecy fulfilled. As simply we can sometimes make it out to be as we read the Christmas story over and over and over, and sometimes it can get kind of mundane. Has anybody ever been to the same thing year after year after year? It's like, okay, I know the outcome, I know what it's all about, I know this is happening, I know the story. Many of us know the story that Dean had just shared over and over and over. I encourage you, and I hope that maybe this year it had maybe a little bit more of a different light in the response to where you're at this year with Jesus. Scriptures are filled with many reasons and purposes of his coming. One that I want to look at just quickly here, and I'd already shared a little bit of Titus, but this one is in Colossians 1, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. And it says this, that the Father, God, has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, Jesus' blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. What a gift for somebody to come and take your sins and cleanse you from them. Verse 15, now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Remember I shared earlier about those back then that saw Jesus? Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen my Father. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. Firstborn of all creation is that the firstborn, and it talks in that essence of what that means back in the Jewish time, is the son, the firstborn son of a family. He had all the honor of the family was put upon him. He was the first son, the first male child, and he was going to be given a lot of things as far as responsibilities and just and stature within that family because he's the firstborn. Verse 16 says, for it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, by his intervention, and in him, for him. I am so glad that Jesus came to intervene for me. How about you? And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. He also is the head of his body, the church. Jesus, he is the head of this body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and every respect might occupy the chief place. He should be standing first and be preeminent in your life as well. Verse 19, for it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, the powers, the attributes, should dwell in him permanently. When Jesus was born of that of a baby, he had all the power that he needed then. He had all the power that he had to have at the time of his resurrection, at the time of the crucifixion. He shared many times that he could call legions of angels to come and take care of things for him. But he didn't do that because he was on a mission. But he did have that power. He had that perfection. He that had no sin became sin for you that have sin. He had no sin. He had perfection. He had power. He had attributes. The instant that he was that babe. And then it finishes off in 20 and says, and God purposed that through or by the service or the intervention of him, the Son, Jesus, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself. Reconciled back to God. Our reconciliation back to him. Whether on earth or in heaven, as through him the Father made peace by means of the blood of his cross. So you see, all of these things that we celebrate today, all of these things that we think about today, really, it was God wanting to reconcile us back to him. Because he said, I love you. You're created in my image. You weren't an accident. You weren't, you know, you might have been an accident for mom and dad here when all of a sudden they go, oh, surprise, you got, you know, another child coming. I've heard stories saying that there's people that, you know, after they've had like five kids, they go, well, the first two were planned, but, you know, the other three that came, they're all special and I love them all, but, you know, that those three that came unexpectedly, there's something special about them too, you know, even more than maybe those that we plan on. We don't know. We love our kids all the same, but there's those things that we see that we plan, but there's those times that we can't plan, and guess what happens? How much we can be so thankful and just humble before God on what he means and what he has done for us. So I'd encourage you today to not just take today and say, oh, it's Christmas Eve and tomorrow's Christmas Day and we're going to have fun with family and presents and just the festivities. I've shared this before that, you know, even around our table and whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or even at birthdays sometimes, I just sit around and I just marvel at the blessings of God as I look around my family and just see how it is growing. I don't need to open a gift because the gift has been given to me. I don't need to know that I need more things because, number one, I've got salvation. I've got my eternity planned out through that of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then I look around and I see how he has bestowed blessings upon me with my family. What more does a person need? Like George Bailey in A Wonderful Life. What, you know, your family, you know, is everything. That's where your riches are at. Amen? The family is your richest asset. Your friends are your richest asset. Hallelujah. As we close, let's sing Silent Night, and then we're going to have communion and prepare.